I'm going to continue on this morning with the study of, in Bible history that I began last Sunday morning. We studied last Sunday morning pertaining to Solomon and learned some lessons from him and the things that happened to him. And I want to continue on with those events as a basis for further study and lessons that we might look at for ourselves. 1 Kings chapter 11 is where we'll be beginning, if you want to turn to that. And time to time, I'm not going to read the entire text there through about three chapters. We're going to look at some events through about three chapters or four chapters this morning. But we're going to look at several things that we believe would be profitable for us to notice from these. Of course, last Sunday morning, we looked about Solomon's disobedience. How that contrary to God's instructions, he married many wives, and that they turned his heart from God. God had warned them, told them not to marry many wives and not to marry among the heathen, those unbelievers that did not believe in God, because they would turn his heart away from God. And God truly did know best, because that's exactly what happened. As Solomon built altars to please his wives and held on to his wives over God. He also multiplied armies and riches in disobedience to God's word. And we studied about how Solomon was punished, what happened to him as a result of his disobedience from God. He lost the kingdom. It was taken from him, but not in his lifetime. God said because of his father David, who had been so obedient to him. And he didn't completely lose the kingdom that was taken from his son, who was Rehoboam, but he remained with one tribe, one major tribe, and then others, a couple others as well. But there are several lessons that we learn from this. We learned that we must trust and obey God and do what he says to have his blessings and favor. Solomon learned that lesson to his own shame and his own hurt because he suffered failing to do it. We noticed that we could see from Solomon the power of influence. How that the wives had a tremendous influence upon him, and we noted that this is the case that usually one's mate has the greatest of influence upon an individual. And the influence that unbelievers can have upon us is seen in the example of Solomon's wives, how that they turned his heart away from God. We also notice that it is what or who we love that will determine if we are saved eternally. Solomon, the wisest of men, wisest man that ever lived, yet had his heart turned away from God because he held to his wives and loved them instead of holding completely unto God. So it's not a matter of what we know. It's a matter of what we love that will determine our eternal salvation. We're to love God above all else. That's the first and great commandment Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us. And so this morning I want us to continue looking at God's dealings with his people and his nation. As we noted last time from Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, we want to remember. Paul said, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we need to learn from these examples. Would you bow with me in prayer then as we begin? Loving Father, help us to look at these examples. We know that they're given to us, that we might learn from them. And help us to do that very thing, Father. Help us to love you above all things. Help us not to love ourselves or money or our power, to love others or anything above thee, but to seek to love thee and trust thee and do thy will above all things. Forgive us now of our sins. Be with us as we study thy word this morning. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If you were to continue reading in the rest of 1 Kings chapter 11, you would read there how that Solomon's troubles began even while he was still alive, though he did not lose the kingdom. You would read there how that God raised up some adversaries against him. three are particularly mentioned. Three enemies are raised up against him. One is Hadad, another is Rezon, and Jeroboam is mentioned, and he's the most significant one, and we're going to look more in detail in regards to Jeroboam. But as we see here, the scriptures point out that God raised up these adversaries, these enemies who opposed him. One of the things that we must remember, as we talked about this in our adult class this morning, is that God rules in the affairs of men. Sometimes we think that it's our decisions that determine what happens to us and determines whether good things or bad things happen to us, and that we make our own future, or that we determine those things, whether they're going to be good or bad for us. God is the one who determines whether we're going to be blessed or whether there's going to be cursings or punishment in our lives, and that's dependent upon whether we are obedient to him or not. In every case, in these situations we're going to be looking at, when people disobeyed God, they suffered for their sins. There was problems, difficulties that came into their life, but those that were obedient to him were blessed and remained in power and have found happiness and joy in serving the Lord. God rules in the affairs of men. When Jesus ascended back to heaven in Matthew 28, verse number 18, he says, "All authority or all power in heaven and earth has been given to me." God has turned the rule of all things over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who is in power, in who is ruling. Now, in this case here, as God raised up these adversaries, we see that God was using these enemies of Solomon as his instruments to discipline Solomon, to teach him. And this says to us that God can use other people to bring discipline upon us. He might use our enemies to discipline us. It is God that rules. This fact is pointed out in New Testament time over in the book of Romans in chapter 13, the first four verses there. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, the rulers. For there is no authority except from God." Now notice that. There is no authority except from God. God has all authority, and he rules over the affairs of men. He rules in my life and your life. Whether we like it or not, we can be rebellious and bring his curses, his wrath upon us. We can submit in obedience and trust him and receive his blessings. There is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. It's God that sets rulers in power. It's God that deposes them when they will not honor him. Therefore, as we continue on to verse 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment to themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works. They're not anything to be afraid of. If you do, that's which is good. But to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, from the authority. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Oh yes, God rules in the affairs of men. He rules over nations. He sets up kingdoms. He tears down kingdoms. He puts rulers in office. He takes them out of office because they do not submit and honor him. Romans 8 and verse 28 says that God works all things together for the good of those that love him. He rules, and he's doing good for you if you love him, if you're called according to his purpose. He works all things. God wants each and every one of us to come to submit to his authority, to submit to obedience to him, because there's where life is found. He wants to bless us. But if we will not submit, then we bring the wrath upon ourselves, as is the case here. Solomon brought it upon himself because he disobeyed God. God raises up these enemies now who will eventually take the kingdom from him. We need not be afraid of any man if we trust in God. These enemies of Solomon had always been there, but they were powerless. They couldn't oppose God as long as God was with Solomon. They couldn't oppose Solomon while God was with him. But now God rejects Solomon and tells him he's going to suffer for his sins. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, God's promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We must trust in God. God rules. Well, one of these adversaries that's raised up is Jeroboam. And in the last part of chapter 11, Jeroboam is promised that he's going to receive part of the kingdom. This kingdom's going to be divided, as we've already learned. And Jeroboam is going to be ruler over 10 of these tribes. Jeroboam was a hard worker. And he did good work, and he was a servant of Solomon. He was a son of a widow woman. And he was noticed by Solomon. And so Solomon exalted him. And put him in a position of authority. But there's a prophet by the name of Ahijah who comes to him in the first and beginning of, well, about verses 26 through 40 of 1 Kings chapter 11. And promises Jeroboam that he's going to be given 10 of the 12 tribes over which he will rule. God shows this man great mercy. He gives him a great opportunity. Here he is, an unknown, a servant, son of a widow woman who perhaps lacked opportunity and favor and privileges. God heaps upon him the greatest privilege of all, to be ruler of his people, to rule over 10 tribes. Ahijah has a new garment, probably a new cloak. And he meets Jeroboam and gives Jeroboam this message. Notice the reading of 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 31 through 33. Now, he, with this new garment, he tore it in 12 pieces. Now, that's 12 tribes of Israel. You see, one piece for each tribe. And the record says, he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear, God rules, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. And then notice he tells him why he's going to take it away from Solomon. Because they have forsaken me and worshipped the Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, the Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes, and keep my statutes and my judgments as did his father David. So it tells him he's going to give them these 10 tribes. He's going to rule over them. And the reason is because they've worshipped all these false gods, these idols of the foreign nations. And see, promises him later on, if you read on down there in verses 37 and 38, he's going to give him to rule over all his heart's desire. He's going to have his heart's desire. And he would make his house an enduring. Now, I think the King James uses the word a sure house. It means it's going to stand. It's going to endure. It's going to be sure. Notice he says to him, so I will take you and you shall reign over all your heart desires, or your soul desires, the King James says. And you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you will heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful opportunity given to this man. This is the adversary of Solomon. Solomon knows about this, or he learns about it evidently, and from this time on he begins to try to put Jeroboam to death. See how lowly the servant of God has sank. He tries to put God's chosen man to succeed him to death now. Because of this, Jeroboam, in order to save his life, has to flee to Egypt in exile. And then Solomon's son, upon the death of Solomon, whose name is Rehoboam. Now don't become confused with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. That's a confusing thing here. But Rehoboam is Solomon's son. And I always associate the R and the S together in the alphabet. That's the way I remember who was Solomon's son, because R and S are right together. J is Jeroboam. He's the other one, you see. He's not with Solomon. Solomon's son is Rehoboam. But Rehoboam now comes to power. And he's evidently anointed king in Jerusalem over all the nation to succeed his son, succeed his father David. But then later on, all Israel, including Jeroboam, who has returned from exile, gathers at Shechem to make Rehoboam king over all the tribes, over all the nation. And the people, as they meet Rehoboam there, make one request. Because you can be king over all the tribes, but we have one request. They ask for lower taxes. Our burdens, is the way it's put in the scriptures, our burdens to be lower. They're talking about their taxes that they had to pay to support the king and his armies and his royal way of life. Well, Rehoboam says, well, come back to me in 3 days and I'll have you an answer as to what I'm going to do. Well, after this time, he turns to the counselors, the old men who counseled his father. And he said of them, what shall I do? They advised him to listen to the people, lower their burdens, and do what is right that will please the people. Well, the record says Solomon, or that Rehoboam rejected the counsel of the older men, and he went to his peers. He went to some young men that he grew up with, the scripture said, and asked them, what shall I do? Shall I lower their taxes? They advised him the opposite. They said you need to increase their burdens. You need to make things harder on them. Now remember, he had already rejected the counsel of the older men. He didn't want to lose power or control over them. And he rejects the older men's counsel. That's why he turned to the younger ones. That wasn't in his interest to soften things. He wanted to have the same powerful kingdom, the same powerful nation, and so forth. Well, in 3 days, they meet again. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 tells us what he said to them. Then the king answered the people roughly or harshly and rejected the counsel which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scourges. This isn't going to make them worse. Well, the nation of Israel rebelled against him because of this. And there came the division in the kingdom just as God had said was going to come about. He listened to the advice of these young men who were his peers. Really, this is his first mistake. He listened to the counsel of the young, and he rejected the elders' counsel. So 10 tribes thus rebelled against Rehoboam. And Jeroboam is made the ruler over those 10 tribes. But there's an important lesson for us to learn here. Especially is there an important lesson, it seems to me, for young people to learn. That is, we need to learn and pay attention to those who are older. We need to learn to listen to our parents. You know, we may not like their advice. Rehoboam did not like the advice of the older men, but they were right. And they proved right. Oh, how many of us as young people did not like the advice that our parents give to us? We've all passed through that period of life. Having done so, we can turn to our young people today and say to them, you may not like the advice given by those who are older and by our parents, but listen to them, they know best. Why is it that it seems like nearly, it's almost without exception, isn't it, that all, when we're young, seem to think that we know more than our parents? Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 13 and verse 7, when he took office, is described as a young man, tender-hearted. Or perhaps that could be translated inexperienced. Now this is when he became king. His counselors in 2 Chronicles 10 and verse number 10 are described as young men, or that could be translated lads or youth. We're talking about young people. How many young people have wrecked their lives due to a failure to live by the instruction of their parents or other older people? Rehoboam did. And it's happened many, many times. I look at my own experience of trying to advise my own children. I have to confess that two of them married against my advice. Many others have done the same thing and suffered many problems as a result, suffered the consequences of failing to listen. I have to recognize that one daughter, her body lies in the grave today because she would not listen to her mother. We pointed out the beginning of her cancerous mole almost 2 years before it was diagnosed by the doctor, but she would not listen. There are many others that not listen to their parents about the friends or the people that they associate with. And young people that ended up on drugs or alcohol, addicted to these things, and have destroyed their health and their lives in many cases. Many others have not listened about proper way to date, and they have carried on doing parking of cars and kissing and petting, ended up conceiving children. Others have not listened to the advice about their education and training, now unable perhaps to provide a living for their families. Oh, that's not going to happen in every case. And young people, there's always going to be an exception where you can look to some person and say, well, they didn't have any education at all. Look how they succeeded. There's always going to be an exception. But how many have not listened to the advice of their parents and have not got the education or the training, have not studied in the way that parents have told them and suggested them, and now unable perhaps to provide a living for their family, and perhaps are living in poverty? Maybe during this, I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about all that hot weather out there and driving down the road, and you see people having to walk sometimes. And going up to the wedding for my niece last night, broken arrow. After I come back, I told my wife, it seemed like every mile or two there was a car stopped with a hood up because of the heat, you know, the problems. How many are living without proper air conditioning and this type of weather because they failed to listen to the advice that parents gave them? How many are without transportation or living in other forms of poverty or handicapped in one way or another because they failed to listen to the advice of parents? Children God commands you to obey your parents. They know best. Let not make the mistake that Solomon made. He thought he knew more than God, but he found out he did not. I've had my own children say to me, I wish I had listened. They found out that Dad was right. Older people do not want to take privileges away from children, do not want to make them suffer. But we care about the younger. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 commands children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that you may live long upon the earth. Honor thy father and mother was one of the Ten Commandments given in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Now he tells us why that we're to obey them, that it might go well with thee. That's the reason. For happiness, peace of mind, success in life, we need to listen to those that have lived through many things that we have not experienced, that usually know these things. They know best. Sometimes young people think that God doesn't even know best. Maybe some of us as older people now thought God didn't know what was best for us when we were growing up. And many of us are still, maybe you're suffering the consequences because we fail to heed God's advice as young people when we were growing up. And then he says, not only that it may go well with thee, but that we might live long upon the earth. You ever think about that? Long life is connected to listening to our parents and other older people. Sure is. You can lose your life very quickly, especially when you're very young. Maybe our parents told us not to go play in the street. Stay away from that. Maybe I remember one time I was up in Woodward, Oklahoma. I was driving down this narrow residential street. I wasn't going very fast. And I saw a door fly open from a house pretty close to the street in front of me. And here come this little streaker. Maybe 2.5, 3 years old, didn't have a stitch of clothes on, threw that door right out in the street right in front of me. I had plenty of time to stop, wasn't any problem or anything, but I honked my horn. Pretty soon I saw somebody peer out the door, and evidently his mother come chasing after him to pick him up in the middle of the street. And on the way back, you know what was happening to his little bare bottom as he went back to the house? All of a sudden, it began to turn red, and rightly so, because she had to teach him not to go into the street. He could lose his life very quickly, and he would not live long upon this earth. But as we grow older, we pass that period of life, we begin to think we've learned as much as our parents. But you see, long life, to live long upon the earth, and how long we live can be affected by many other things. Even eating habits. And by driving habits. By health habits. Even by dressing habits. And certainly by work habits. All of those can affect how long we live upon the earth. When our parents seek to guide us and other older people seek to guide us in those things, they want us to have a happy life and to live long. But to live long and have a happy and successful life, parents, we need to guide children into the keeping of God's commandments. To have all your heart desires, like he told Rehoboam here, keep God's commandments. Do things my way. Keep my judgments. Joshua 1, verse number 8, whenever Joshua was assuming command of the nation of Israel to lead them into the promised land, God told him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Notice, if we're going to know God's will and what's going to bring us happiness and a long life here upon this earth and an eternal life, it's not something we just think about on Sunday morning. But we meditate in it day and night. Excuse me. Then notice the promise, the last part of that verse. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. To live long upon the earth, to have happiness and joy and peace of mind. That's what this book is about. It's God's instruction book for us. And we'll find that if we'll meditate in it day and night and come to know it, then we can have the favor and the success and the blessings that God wants us to have. All that our hearts desires. But you see, many times, we like these men. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Solomon. We love something more than God. Whether it's wives or power, we're going to see more about these men as they love the power. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 says, submit yourselves to your elders. Speaking direction to the younger. Well, Rehoboam's failure to listen to his elders caused him to lose the 10 tribes, and they were given to Jeroboam, a division in the kingdom. We have then what we speak of as the northern kingdom, 10 tribes over which Jeroboam ruled, and the southern kingdom over which Rehoboam ruled, made up of Judah, Benjamin, and parts of another tribe or two. But you see, Jeroboam also failed to trust and obey God. And he follows in the footsteps of Solomon. He did not learn. We don't have time to go into that this morning. You might like to read ahead. Lord willing, I'm going to continue on with Jeroboam and Rehoboam and see how they do. We've already seen some of Rehoboam's mistakes. But we're going to continue on with Jeroboam next Sunday morning and see some of the mistakes that he made and why he made them. It seems to be that there is one theme throughout all of these Old Testament examples. And that theme is that we must love God above everything and everybody and trust Him to have His blessings. We must submit to Him and obey Him. My prayer is that as we study these Old Testament examples, our faith and trust, our love for God will grow. Romans 10 of verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's to our shame that many of us have not looked at these words that we should hear, these Old Testament examples by which we obtain faith, and have not learned many of these lessons that we can from this word. But my prayer is that as we study these, we will grow in faith and trust and love for God. Do you trust God enough to obey Him this day? Whatever your need might be, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you have not been baptized into Christ. Maybe you've not repented of sins and turned away from sin and confessed faith in Christ. That's His will for you. If you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do today. You want God's favor and God's blessing, then you need to be obedient to Him in rendering that initial obedience to Him, repenting of sins, confessing that faith, and being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if as a Christian today you're not obedient, like in the studying of His Word, meditating in it day and night, so that you can come to know what His will is and see things from His point of view, maybe you need to repent of that this morning. Or maybe there's other sin in your life that you're aware of, and you know that your life is not lived according to God's Word. If that be the case, won't you repent of it today? Submit to God. Render obedience to His will in all things. Invitation is yours. Now, will you not come while we stand, while we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing heart? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul and clean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Will you please mark or pass your attendance cards to the center office that might be collected at this time? Please turn to page number 637. 637. After the song, Brother Mike Fletcher will lead us in our closing prayer.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for each thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, be with us as we come to you in prayer at the end of this service. Thanking you, Father, for this time that we've had this morning that we could assemble to worship Thee in spirit and in truth and to sing these songs of praise unto Thy name. We pray, Father, that all that we've said and done this morning has been pleasing in Thy sight. We're thankful, Father, for the good lesson we've heard this morning. We're thankful for Mark and for the ability that he has to preach and to teach Thy word. We're so thankful, Father, for our elders that lead this congregation. Bless them with wisdom and with courage to lead us in the way that you would have them. We're mindful, Father, of those that were mentioned who are sick. We know that you know who they are. We just ask that you bless them as you see their needs and help them recover, if it be thy will. We pray, Father, for those who may be traveling at this time. Watch over them, grant them a safe trip. We pray that you go with us now as we go to our homes. Help us all to be back this evening once again to worship thee. Help us overcome the temptations that we face daily in our lives. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.